Welcome to Sunday Morning at Faith Assembly, featuring the ministry of Senior Pastor Phil Goss. We're glad you've joined us. Now, here's Pastor Goss.
Those that are there in your bulletin, we're going to begin a new series this morning. I like it. We're going to talk about excuses. We're going to look at people in the Bible who made excuses. And here's what we're going to see. We're going to find out how that worked for them. And by the way, just so you know, it works the same way for us. Because we are a people who've got a lot of great excuses, don't we? Yet the Bible says this in Romans chapter 1, verse 20. It says, ever since the world was created, people have seen the earth and sky. Though everything God made, they can clearly see his invisible qualities, his eternal power, divine nature, so they have no excuse for not knowing God. So we're going to look at this morning two different groups of people. By the way, the first two sins that are committed in the Bible, Adam and Eve and Cain. And what was their main excuse? Not my responsibility. Not my deal. So let's follow this through. Let's look at them, because here's what they're going to do. They're going to be trying to avoid responsibility by passing the responsibility on to somebody else. It's not my fault. It's your fault. Now, I know none of you have ever done this, and our slang term is we pass the buck. And so we're going to look at how these people did this and what they did and how that worked. So in Genesis chapter 3, verse 8, when the cool evening breezes were blowing, the man and his wife heard the Lord God walking about in the garden, so they hid from the Lord God among the trees. I mean, I understand it's kind of hard to hide from God. The Lord God called to the man, where are you? By the way, that where are you? It's not a call as far as location. It's a call, where are you? Where are you? And he replied, I heard you walking in the garden, so I hid. I was afraid because I was naked. And who told you you were naked? The Lord God asked, have you eaten from the tree whose fruit I commanded you not to eat? Now, that's a pretty simple question, right? Yes or no, right? Right? Okay. Man replied, it was the woman you gave me, who gave me the fruit, and I ate it. The Lord God asked the woman, what have you done? The serpent deceived me, she replied. That's why I ate it. yes or no? You know them, Adam, Eve, first man and the first woman. They lived in a perfect world. Now think about this. They could do anything they want to do. There's only one rule, just one. You would think we could keep one, but that doesn't work for good for any of us, does it? One rule, don't eat that tree. You can do everything else. You can have anything else you want. It's all yours, just not that one. And so they did it. They took the bite. They ate the fruit of it, and when he was confronted with his fault, he came up with the classic excuse. Don't blame me. It's not my fault. It's her fault. Now, that works for me most of the time, okay? That works for a lot of us, doesn't it? It's not me. It's them. I'm not the one having the problem. It's them. I'm doing okay. And it's the greatest alibi ever. Blame somebody else for your problem. Blame your parents. Blame your boss. Blame your spouse. Blame your kids. Blame society. Just don't you take the blame. Because after all, it's not your responsibility, right? You did that because of them. Now, Adam did something that is really pretty bold, because he kind of doubled down, if you will, on this. He says, I ate the fruit. It was the woman you gave me. God, you put her here. I didn't ask for this. You said I needed her. You put me into the sleep. You took one of the ribs. You did this, God. It's your fault. Wow, that's pretty bold, right? But I know none of you have ever blamed God for anything in your life, have you? God, it's not my fault. It's yours. God, why'd you do this? God, this isn't fair. God, it's you. You've never blamed God for any of your problems. You've never called into question his character, his faithfulness, his love. We all have at one time or another, haven't we? And if it's a problem, then blame others, blame God. Just don't blame yourself. Just don't take the responsibility on your own. After all, it's not your fault. It's not your deal. It's theirs. Let's go to the second person, a guy by the name of Cain, the spouse of a sibling of Adam and Eve, had a brother by the name of Abel. And when it was time for the harvest, Cain presented some of his crops as a gift to the Lord. And Abel also brought a gift, the best portions of the firstborn lambs from his flock. And the Lord accepted Abel and his gift, but he did not accept Cain and his gift. And this made Cain very angry, and he looked dejected. In other words, God, hold it. I brought you something. I gave it to you. You're not accepting it. This isn't right. This isn't fair. And what came into his being? Anger. And his face showed it. His countenance showed it. He was ticked off. You know what it's like. You get angry at somebody and you want everybody to know, so you slam the door. So you give one of these deals. You know, okay? And that's what he's doing. And God comes to him, why are you so angry? I don't get it, God says. Why are you so angry? You know, why do you look so dejected? What's the deal here, Cain? You will be accepted if you do what's right. But if you refuse to do what's right, watch out. Sin is crouching at the door, and it's eager to control you. Boy, is that a good lesson for all of us. It's crouching at the door. It wants to control you, but you must subdue it and be its master. Your responsibility, right? And one day, Cain suggested to his brother, let's go out in the fields. And while they were in the field, Cain attacked his brother Abel and killed him. And afterward, the Lord asked Cain, where's your brother? Where's Abel? I don't know, Cain responded. Am I my brother's guardian? It's not my problem. Go ask them. It's not my deal. It's not my responsibility. It doesn't concern me. Why are you coming to me with this? He's his own boss. He can do this. And he had deceived himself into believing that he was innocent. He had a justifiable reason to do what he did. So here's what happens to us. Something doesn't go the way we want it to go, and we take it out on somebody else who is innocent. Cain had a problem with God, and he kills Abel. When somebody's doing right and you're doing wrong, you don't like the person who's doing right, do you? It's too close to home. We all have the great ability for self-deception. Am I my brother's keeper? Am I his guardian? Am I the one responsible for him? If you want to know that, go ask him. But here's the thing we all know, don't we? I am responsible for how I treat other people, aren't I? It is my deal. It is my problem. Now, the thing about these first two sins that we read about, they go against the greatest commandment. What's the greatest commandment? Love God with all your heart and all your soul and all your mind and all your strength. Adam and Eve didn't, did they? Then you love your neighbor as yourself? Cain didn't, did he? And so neither wanted to take responsibility for their sins. They made an excuse that they thought would relieve them of responsibility. In other words, it's not my fault. It's not my problem. I'm the innocent one here. I am the one that's being taken advantage of. I'm the one that's suffering. I'm not the one who's guilty. They are. And all of us struggle with that for our entire lifetime. It begins when you're 2, 1.5. 2 kids are playing. One of them hauls off and hits the other one. You look at them, what did you do? Well, he did this. They took my toy. I was playing with that. They can't have that. What did you do? But they did. Not going to take responsibility. And as we get older, we keep using the same excuse. Now the problem gets to be this, that we serve a God who says there are no excuses. So what do we do with that? How do we handle that? How do we do it when I got to realize I am responsible and that I can blame everybody I want, but God doesn't buy it? Yeah, I like this. You probably won't, but I do, okay? So what do we do? Here, let me just walk you kind of through this. First of all is determined and known by God. Now, in both of the cases that we've looked at, here's the main point that you have to get. God set the rules. Adam and Eve, don't eat that tree. Cain, you know the sacrifice you're supposed to bring. This is what I want. They couldn't say, I didn't know. They knew. It was very clear to them because God had set the rules. This is the way it works. This is what you're to do. This is what I expect. This is how this is going to go down. And with God, the other thing is, all the rules are fair because every rule that he sets, you can do. Adam and Eve, look, you got the whole garden, just not that one. You can do everything else. Cain, everything, you know the sacrifice to bring. Just, you've got it. You can do it. Bring it. God never asks you to do something you can't do. Now, sometimes you can't do it on your own and you need God's help, which is a great, great thing. But God always establishes the boundaries. Now, you see, where we get into problem is we want to set the rules. We want to say, well, I don't agree with that. I think this is right. Well, what gives God the right to tell me what to do? Well, I just think that it should be this way, and I think this should be okay and this shouldn't be, and I just don't like how the Bible lays out things, and I just think I should be allowed to put my rules into place. And I know the Bible says don't do that, but I really don't agree with it like that. I think it's more like this. And we are a people who want to establish our own rules, don't we? And God has the ability and has the right to set the rules. He's God. You're not. I'm not. So he puts rules into place for you and I to obey, and they're fair, and they're for our benefit, and they're for the good of us. They're there to help us. They're there to give us a great life. And he says, look, if you'll do this, then you'll get all of this. And if you don't do that, then you'll get everything else that goes with this. And God just says, here's the rules. Here's what they are. They're clear. And you don't have an excuse for not knowing them. Because no one will ever be able to stand before God and say, I didn't know. You know. So all is determined and known by God. And here's the thing. God always knows what happened. Adam, where are you? He already knew. Cain, where's your brother? He already knew. You never do anything that God doesn't know. He always knows. Always. He not only knows what you did, he also knows why you did it. He knows. And he is the final judge. Please get this. And he always deals with the truth. Adam, did you eat the tree? What's the truth? Yes. Did you eat the fruit, Adam? Yeah, I did. Not, well, the woman you gave me, you know, it's not my fault. I'm not guilty. I'm not responsible. Cain, where's your brother? I don't know. Not my problem. God always deals in truth. You can try to lie to God. You can try to pretend that you know better than God, but God always knows, and he always knows the truth. And he's established the boundaries. He's established how things operate. And when you go against them, God knows, and God is the judge as to what is going to happen. But God, you don't understand. He knows. So all is determined and known by God. Secondly, God wants us to admit the truth. Why is God asking Adam and Eve questions? Why is he coming to Cain and asking him the question? Because God always gives you the opportunity to tell the truth. To be able to come and say, God, here it is. Did God already know? Yeah. Then why is he asking the question? He wants to know, am I going to admit the truth or am I going to make an excuse? Because as long as I make an excuse, I'm not admitting the truth, am I? And as long as I'm making an excuse, I'm kind of buying me some time and getting out of everything and justifying my actions and my attitudes. And, you know, I got to admit the truth. Now, Adam and Eve did tell the truth. We ate it. Eventually. Yes, we did, but. So if you tell the truth and make an excuse for it, you're lying. Because you're not accepting responsibility. Now, Cain just flat out lied. I don't know. Not my problem. Why should I care? I'm not his keeper. Not my fault. They shifted blame. I'm not guilty because. We always leave ourselves a way out, don't we? We always leave ourselves a way to kind of dance around the issues and not have to take responsibility for it. And let me just ask you a very simple question. What do you do when you are confronted with your disobedience? You stand up and say, you know what, God, I'm guilty. I did it. Or do you say, well, God, you know, you don't understand what I've been through lately. I've got a lot of pressure. You just don't know how that person's been treating me and what they've done to me. And God, you just don't understand all the details of what's been going on. And God, you just don't understand my needs and what's going on in my life. And, you know, and we begin to dance around the issues so that we don't have to say, I'm just guilty. I did it. That's the issue, isn't it? Am I going to take responsibility when I do something that I know God doesn't like? When I do something that I know in my heart, in my life, this isn't right. When I do something and I don't like it, do I blame other people because of it? Or do I just say, it's me? We have to admit the truth. God will keep dealing with you until you admit the truth. That's what we're always looking for. Will you own up to it? Will you accept responsibility for it? And will you just say it? And if you don't, God's going to keep working on you and dealing with you in all kinds of different ways until you learn you can't blame other people for your problems, for your disobedience. Good? We should accept God's mercy. Now, the interesting thing to me in both of these stories is how far God went to try and help these people. He comes down the garden. It was a common thing. That's what he did with Adam and Eve. They had this relationship with him. He'd come down. They had fellowship with God. It was just incredible. But now he comes down. What have you done? Will you admit it? God, what's there? He offers them a way out. Cain, where is he? Cain, what's going on? Cain, if you'll do it, you'll be accepted. Wow. That's merciful of God, right? Cain got a second chance, didn't he? Cain, you know what you're supposed to do. Now just do it and everything will be good. That's mercy. God could have said, Cain, you didn't do this, you're done. But he kept giving him another chance, didn't he? Adam and Eve. God, you're guilty? Okay, what's God do? He makes clothing from animal skins. Good thing PETA wasn't around during that time. They would have gotten all upset. But we understand it's a sacrificial issue that goes on. And so what's God do? He covers their sin, doesn't he? By the blood. Cain, if you'll do what's right, you're going to be accepted. God keeps offering us mercy after mercy after mercy. There's always a chance to recover. Will you just admit it? And if you don't admit it, you don't get mercy. If you're willing to admit it, what does God do? Good, I was waiting for you to say that. Now you're getting a whooping. No. God says, okay, good. Now that we're dealing with the truth, let me show you my mercy. Boy, I would much rather have God's mercy than God's judgment. But the only way I get mercy is if I'm honest with God and with me. And so in both cases, and as you follow Scripture, God keeps coming to people, asking them, what'd you do? What's he wanting to know? Are you going to tell me the truth? Are you going to own this? Are you going to say, it's me? Are you going to take responsibility for it, or are you going to blame somebody else? Now, if you take responsibility for it, God is right away willing to step in and offer you his mercy. But if you try to blame somebody else, you're going to keep struggling for a long time. You're going to keep having difficult issues. And so God said, where are you? What's going on? Tell me what's there. And he already knows, but are you going to take responsibility for what you do? If you do, I'll give you mercy. Cain, if you'll do what's right, I'll accept you. That's a pretty sweet deal. And Cain knew what was right, didn't he? But have you ever noticed, even though we know what's right, we don't want to do it? Because we think, well, if I do that, I'm not going to have any fun. If I do that, I'm going to be miserable. If I do that, things aren't going to work out. If I do that, then, you know, my life will be a wreck. God says, look, I'll deal in the truth with you. And if you'll admit the truth, and if you'll stop making your excuses, well, it's just the way I am. God goes, I know I made you. God will give you mercy. If you will be honest and truthful with God, God will respond to you with mercy. But if you keep making excuses, God will respond to you with difficulties. Very simple issue of Scripture. What we do always affects others. Why do we have to do the truth? Because we're the one who needs to take the blame. Because if we don't, what are we doing? We're making other people be responsible for our problems, aren't we? We're making other people take the fall. And in this case, what we see is Adam and Eve, they sinned. They suffered consequences for it. The earth suffered consequences for it. We're still suffering consequences for it. Because sin, disobedience, always affects other people. Always. Well, I'll do this and nobody will know. Impossible. Well, it's not a big deal. It's still going to affect other people. Well, that's not my problem. Oh, you haven't read the Bible, have you? It does matter where your brother is, doesn't it? Hello? Oh, okay. You know, Cain, he brought grief to his family. Cain never, as far as we know, owns up to this. God says, look, Cain, because you're doing this, I'm going to do this, and you're going to do this. And Cain suffers a serious consequence that he deals with for the rest of his life because of his unwillingness to just be honest about what went on. And you see, if you keep making excuses, you'll be struggling the rest of your life. And you'll make one excuse after the other. And then you'll blame God, or you'll blame people. Well, you know, I wouldn't be in this mess if Abel hadn't been such a know-it-all and such a hotty-totty guy and just, you know, thought he was so great. He does what God wants, and, you know, he was God's favorite, and he just did that. And, you know, I wouldn't be in this mess if it wasn't for Abel. Oh, really? We're great at this, aren't we? And so what I do, I have to understand, will affect other people if I'm not willing to take responsibility for myself. Anybody here ever blame somebody else for something and they got in trouble and you didn't? That doesn't feel good after a while, does it? So I have to understand, am I my brother's guardian? Yes, you are. Well, God, it's just us. Well, okay. Well, Pastor, that isn't fair. Why should I have to suffer because of what somebody else did? Because that's what sin does. That's how hard it is. That's why we're told, love God and love people, and if you'll do that, life will be much easier. So what we do always affects other people. I accept responsibility when I adjust my actions and my attitudes. I come to that place when I am confronted with my disobedience, my sin, call it whatever you want, my mistake, put whatever label you want on it. I come to that place where I say, okay, my bad, my fault, I'm guilty. Well, but God, you know, they played a part in this too. No, 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 no. Me. I am responsible. And God, if there's one thing I need right now, I need mercy. I want mercy. So God, I'm guilty. You're right. I'm wrong. I'm doing things that I know aren't right in your sight. I'm guilty. It's me. No excuses. And when I'm willing to do that, God will give me mercy. God, I need to make changes. God, I will obey. Because the line that we read for Cain still applies to us today. Sin is crouching at the door. And it wants to be your master, but you have to subdue it. How do you subdue sin? Sin hates truth. That's why Satan hates God. God is truth. And so I come to that place where I understand I am responsible to control this. I am responsible to stop this. I am responsible to do what's right. And no excuse that I make relieves me of that responsibility. None. So, simple question. What is there in your life today that you know is not pleasing God? And that you've been excusing. Will you take responsibility? Well, Pastor, I've been involved with something that really wasn't my fault. Okay? Say that's true. I can relate to that. Years ago, I was in a car wreck. It was not my fault. I was innocent. But I am responsible for how I'm going to handle it and go on for the rest of my life. Or I can spend my life blaming other people because of the unfairness of things. My choice, right? I take responsibility for me. And see, when you do that, what do you get? Oh, come on, don't make me do this again. Mercy! You know, you can spend the rest of your life blaming other people. You can spend the rest of your life making excuses for why you are the way you are. You can spend the rest of your life making an excuse for what you've done and why you've done it and the reasons behind it and how you're justified in it and how it makes sense to everybody else and how it makes sense to you. But the bottom line is this. Is this something that God says, no, this isn't right? Now, you may have convinced yourself it's okay, but here's what we all know. God knows you know the truth. God knows. So you and I have to come to that place in our lives when we're dealing with things that we know are not right before God. Are we going to make an excuse? Or are we going to take responsibility and do what's right? Sin is at the door. It wants to be your master. It wants you to follow. But you must master it. When you live in the truth will set you free. So are you living in truth? Or are you living in excuses? What is there that you need to be honest with God about and say, God, you're right. I'm wrong. Forgive me. And when you do it, God gives mercy. What a great God. Let's pray.
Thank you for joining us for today's service. If you would like to talk with someone about what you've heard, please visit our website at faith.ag. or call us at 239-543-2700. If you're in the Fort Myers area and don't already have a church home, you're invited to join us for Sunday morning at 8:15 and 10:45 a.m. Faith Assembly is located at 7101 Bayshore Road. Join us again next week for Sunday Morning. Faith Assembly Sunday Morning is a production of Faith Assembly Media Tech, North Fort Myers, Florida.